Well, howdy there, Internet people. It's Bo again, and welcome to The Roads with Bo. Today is April 28th, 2024, and this is episode 36 of The Roads Not Taken, which was a weekly series where we go through the previous week's events and talk about news that was unreported, underreported, didn't get the coverage I thought it deserved, or I just found it interesting. Then we go through some questions from y'all picked by the team. We're going to start off by saying hi to Nolan. Good luck. Okay. Going to foreign policy. China and the United States have had some meetings. There's a lot of posturing and positioning when it comes to economic concerns. A lot of big talk, not a lot of big developments, at least none that have been released at time of filming. There may be more news about that coming later. Ships planning to leave Turkey to head to Gaza with relief supplies have been delayed after an inspection, and they had their flags yanked. Without intervention, that's going to be a lengthy delay if there's not pressure from somewhere to figure out exactly what went on. At time of filming, there is a lot of conflicting reports as to what exactly occurred. None of it seems normal by any real definition. Okay. Now, at time of filming, ceasefire negotiations are still underway. Blinken is on his way to Saudi Arabia. Israel has, for the first time, indicated a willingness to discuss a sustainable calm, is the term they're using for it. For everybody else, that's a long-term ceasefire. We'll see how that plays out. The United States and Israel are reportedly reviewing remediation plans about the unit that was considered for a suspension of military aid. When we talked about it the first time, we talked about how if those acts were suspected or they occurred and things were done to prevent it happening in the future, well, it doesn't impact U.S. policy. Remediation plans means that the U.S. brought the issue to their attention and they're willing to engage in some kind of changes. What those are, don't know. The reviewing of the plan means that this is still in the early phases of it. Now, my understanding is that the atmosphere at state is... let's just call it tense, and that there are multiple schools of thought about how the United States should proceed, and it is, there's a lot of discussion going on right now, and my guess is that we will find out a little bit more about which direction the U.S. is going to head this week. Moving on to U.S. news, Governor Kristi Noem, who is a potential VP pick for Trump, put down a puppy. Normally, saying something like that would be some kind of euphemism for a bad political act or something along those lines. In this case, no, that's quite literal. The act first came to light when she disclosed it in what appears to be an attempt to show that she would be willing to get her hands dirty. The reporting from The Guardian indicates that they got an advanced copy of her autobiography, and it is in that. And oddly enough, it doesn't end there. The puppy was, I guess, according to the story, wasn't well-trained. It was not yet... a well-trained dog. Then there was a goat as well, and according to the reporting, at least part of that reason was that the goat smelled bad, because goats are, you know, known for smelling good. The motivation behind this and the response, it does not seem to be having the effect that she, I guess, thought it would. So I would imagine there's going to be a lot more discussion about that one as well. Trump apparently wants the filibuster gone in the Senate. It appears that Republican senators are like marshaling forces and locking arms to say no. And they are building a coalition to basically just tell him that's not on the table. Now, Republican members of Congress have been very supportive of the right-wing media going after the space laser lady, cheering it on, sharing it on social media. It does not appear that her move against Johnson is going very well at the moment. LAPD issued a citywide tactical alert over the demonstrations at USC. Donald Payne of New Jersey's 10th District, I think, died this week. Net neutrality has been restored by the FCC. The FTC banned most non-compete agreements. If you are under one, you might want to look into that coverage. Okay, in cultural news, Pastor Livingston just ripped Trump and that Bible apart in a now viral sermon about the place of politics in religion and vice versa. That was quite a speech. In science news, a World Health Organization study indicates that in the last 50 years, vaccines have saved about 154 million people. 101 million of those would have been infants. Information about China's version of the stealth bomber came out. It was not good information, and it has led defense analysts to dub it "What Happens When You Order Your B-2 from Wish." It does not meet the standards or capabilities that people thought it was going to meet. A study indicates that those treated by female doctors live longer. I honestly cannot wait to see how the right wing responds to that in the United States. Something, something, feminism or DEI or something. I would imagine that's going to be a culture war nonsense topic for next week. In oddities, Trump was mocked repeatedly after engaging in an incredibly bizarre ceremony in which the former president, again, the person who is not president and has not been for years, presented a key to the White House as a gift. It was unique, in another incredibly weird development. U.S. intelligence indicated that they didn't believe that Putin was behind the extrajudicial death of a political opponent. Peskov, who is a Putin ally and spokesperson at the Kremlin, said, "I would not say this is high-quality material that deserves any attention." Some very empty reasoning. So, to be clear, the Kremlin is saying that the U.S. intelligence report clearing Putin is apparently based on bad reasoning. I've got to be honest, I did not see that one coming. Okay, moving on to the Q&A. Okay, why did it not pass until now, after 5 years? This is obviously to alter the flow of information on Gaza. Even if they were trying before, they expedited it now. But they didn't. It's not expedited. It's actually longer. This doesn't go into effect. It's a year. it's a year. The previous attempts actually had a shorter time frame. Okay. I'm writing again because I'm still wondering as to why you never talk about the influence of religion on the situation in Israel, Gaza. The same reason I never talk about the flags. It's an easy defining line, but it's like many things on the foreign policy scene, it's not actually the motivation. It's a tool to either motivate one populace or, you know, another. It's not... I'll try to do a video about it, but generally speaking, you do have some exceptions to this. But most times when you are talking about religion and its purpose in conflict, it isn't... It's a tool used by those in power. It's not really the cause. It's a method of marshaling support. How do you channel the rage that comes from being a leftist in a deep red area? How do you push that hate into a blender and chop it up into a smoothie of love? Much like the question the other day over on the other channel, you got to remember sometimes you don't have a choice. I mean, you could be angry all the time, but it doesn't do any good. And with what I do, I have to focus on pulling out the teachable moments and stuff like that. Being angry, in many cases, it's a wasted emotion. I mean, you can use it to motivate you, but beyond that, it's if you let it get to you, it burns you up. So you have to either use it as a motivation, I guess channel it into the blender, or find a way to let it go. How do I do it? I don't have a choice. I mean, if I came and ranted every time something, you know, in my immediate area bothered me, it would be a very different channel. Ever thought about telling these people the truth? Leave activism and go straight into politics. Skip the middle and focus your younger years on building a political career to make the actual changes you need. I believe in a diversity of tactics. Electoral politics, again, to me, least effective form of civic engagement. Not ineffective, but least effective. There are, without the support structure that exists outside of it, the campaign doesn't go anywhere. People have to be out there getting the message out in different ways for any political campaign to work. So I don't believe this is an either or. It's more of a yes and. Yes, if you want to have a progressive platform, you need progressive politicians to carry it forward, but they're not going to get through their primary if they don't have activists out there really pushing those issues. You need both. Just wanted to share this with you. Ryan Hall is fundraising for victims of the tornado outbreak this weekend at the Y'all Squad. Oh, it's Ryan. The Y'all Squad. TheY'allSquad.org. They all squad. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, that. I guess that's it. That's the information that needed to get out right there. Ah. I had already pulled this to do a full video on it. Okay. So, let's say that everything goes perfectly and the two-state solution happens. Let's even include that some of Hamas gets representation in the new Palestinian state and turns over a new leaf. Won't residual Hamas and other individuals who can't let go of the ancient grudge against Israel still form groups within the Palestinian state, get funding from Iran, and continue to lob drones at Israel, causing the whole situation again? I don't understand how the two-state solution solves anything at all. I don't see how we can break the cycle. Okay. So, the first thing is that it's not going to stop immediately. It is not a magic pill that changes everything immediately. There will certainly still be elements that won't let go. However, from the point of it actually being a functioning state, it should theoretically be handled internally among Palestinians. That's how that would play out, as it has in other places that have gone down the route of the Omaha moment, where you have that moment where peace is possible and they seize on it. The reason those moments occur is because people have grown tired of the violence. And generally speaking, something really bad happened. And so it's not going to end immediately, but it would be handled very, very differently. And over time, the value of those groups would diminish to the Iranian policymaker. Therefore, they would get less funding, and it would be a downhill decline instead of a cycle that continues to feed one action feeds the next. In theory, it would be a situation where an event occurs, but it's handled jointly. And over time, you end up with a situation where economic ties develop and there's more movement. This is especially true. One of the critical things about this, and this is why the aid, you know, the quote, dump trucks full of cash are so important, is that areas within that state would have to be allowed to flourish. Trade would have to go in and out. The economic stability is incredibly important because it reduces the appeal of certain groups. So it's not a thing where, okay, they've signed a deal, now there's never another, you know, shot fired in anger or anything like that. It turns into a very gradual decline, and you end up with a situation like in Ireland, where it declines, it declines, it declines, and then eventually you have that moment where there's a shift to where it isn't the norm. I mean, it's important to remember that Irish Republican groups still exist. They just don't have as much broad support. And it tones things down. And generally, over time, the two sides, they realize that they're not that different. and that what they were fighting for, it may not be worth everything that it's cost. It's not a situation where it's an immediate end, but it's the step that has to be taken to get to any, I guess the terminology right now is sustainable calm, any real peace. Food insecurity and famine are concerns for many people across the globe. What sets the visibility of the plight faced in Gaza above places like Sudan and other places in Africa? A built-in audience in the West. It's probably not the answer people want to hear, but that is the answer. Okay, so what generates outcry? Attention, right? People have to be aware that something is happening. To be aware of it, it has to make it onto the news. It has to be covered, or a movement has to pick it up and make it their cause, you know, that they're going to push it out there. If it's not getting coverage, the reason is because it isn't economically viable. There's not a built-in audience for that cause. So it doesn't get coverage. It continues to not get coverage. And generally speaking, when you really think back, a lot of times those situations go unresolved until it starts to impact a built-in audience of some kind. And that's why the situation in Gaza gets so much attention, because there is a built-in audience that also has a highly polarized topic, which means people are going to continue to watch it. It's really good for ratings. And it's incredibly sad, because that is the driving factor behind it. Because people know that they can profit from it. And so it gets more coverage. They know that if they plug the word Gaza into their title, on YouTube even, that it's going to get a lot of views, which, and the same is true for major outlets. They know that this topic, because of its highly polarized nature, because of the built-in audience, it makes some money. And therefore, people are more aware of what occurs, therefore they have stronger opinions about it, and it just kind of continues in that way. When you talk about the places that get overlooked, generally speaking, there isn't a built-in audience in the West, and that really is that determines where the spotlight gets pointed. So, are you defeated or desensitized? Desensitized, definitely. In a recent video, I talked about how viewing certain kinds of imagery over time, it's going to do one of two things to you. And that you don't have to do that. And then I made the comment that I have to do it because of what I do. No. Definitely desensitized. And the next question, how did you come back from being desensitized? I haven't. I mean, without a doubt, low estimate over the last 2 years, a little bit more than, I have probably watched 20,000 people go. And most of them watched it more than once. I have not come back from being desensitized, and I probably won't until I retire. It's That is part of doing this job. It's, yeah. And that being desensitized, it leads you to have to be careful when you are talking to people who aren't. You know, there are times when I'm sure that y'all have picked up that I'm definitely trying to choose my words carefully. And that has a lot to do with it. There are still things that are, you know, that bother me. You know, when you're talking about the misapplication of violence and stuff like that. But even me, you know, the reason this is coming up is because I was saying you don't have to do that. Yeah, I have to do it, but even with what I do, I haven't done a lot of police use of force stuff lately, because it was not good for me to continue watching it. So that's just not something, I'm taking a break from covering that right now. There are still things you can do to mitigate, but as far as coming back from it, I'm definitely not. And that's what they chose to end on? You've got to be kidding me. Okay. I don't even have any filler. We've been really good about ending these on a light note lately, but I guess not. Maybe they thought I was going to make a joke out of that. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, this is us heading into next week, and a lot of what's occurred over the last 5 or 6 days seems to be, it seems to be building up to developments that might actually start to alter some of the long-running stories. Which way it goes, I don't know yet. Anyway, so there's a little more information, a little more context, and having the right information will make all the difference. Y'all have a good day.